Motzei Shabbos, December 1st, 2007, Pesach Torah Institute, Rabbi Shlomo Singer Shlita, Rosh Yeshiva, Lessons to Live By Shir, given by Rabbi Avram Shulman.
Welcome to our Shir, Motzei Shabbos, Shir Parshas Vayeshev. Tonight we're going to discuss a little bit about Vayeshev, but mostly the Shir will be in the Yoni Chanukah. And we'll see there's a strong connection between a lot of the ideas that Yosef HaTzadik represents and some of the main yesodos, the fundamental principles that the war of Chanukah was about. So the refreshments are sponsored anonymously, and the shiur is sponsored by Leway Nishmas, Mark and Alexander, Frank and Hillel, Ganesha, Ras, Ram, and the learning should be Yuri for the Neshamos. So we saw in the parsha today a lot of the story of Yosef. Now we know Yosef is called Yosef HaTzadik. Now, generally Yosef is not counted as one of the Avos, although there is a discussion should there be a fourth Avos. There are four Imos. There's a little bit of an imbalance there of three Avos and four Imos. But nevertheless, of all the people that we have in Sefer Bereishis, Yosef is the only one who has the appellation of Yosef HaTzadik. So why is that? So I want to suggest an idea that Yosef is the first of all the people that we have throughout Sefer Bereishis who has to go ahead and permanently live his life according to the values of Yados in a foreign society amongst the Goyim. We saw Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov certainly have to deal with Rishayim, with Paro, with Lavan, with different people along the lines, but they're only temporary. They always come back, and they come back Shalom, they come back to Eretz Yisrael. But Yosef has to deal with life in Mitzrayim. And we see over there, certainly the main reason I think that Chazal and Mepharshim described that he's called Yosef HaTzadik is because he withstood temptation. He withstood Taiva. So that's definitely a tzadik, no matter what, that she came after him, the Ishus Potiphar always came after him. And Yosef, by Yomayin, the Shalshelet, he refused. There's a certain tzitzit, there's a certain righteousness in being able to stand up to Taiva, the temptation. But in addition to that, maybe there's something else. There's a few amazing things that we read this morning. It says right in the beginning, when Yosef was in the house of Potiphar, it says, "Vayar Adonav ki Hashem ito," that he saw, that the Potiphar saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was always with him. Now this is not necessarily Yerush Shemayim. He's not a God-fearing person. And the Torah describes what he said, "Vayar Adonav ki Hashem ito." He said, "Poof, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with this person." That's something everybody says. Wow, he's such a godly man. Why? What does Rashi say over there? Shame Shemayim Shogor Befit. But the name of Hashem was always on his lips. He's always saying, Baruch Hashem, this is Hashem, because Baruch has helped me. And this is a little bit of what we spoke about last week, about this idea of bringing to the society around us Elokus, bringing spirituality and godliness to society around us. And Yosef was, he's the first one maybe to do this. And then, and this is going to see, this is a key point to Ikke Nekuda, how this relates to Chanukah, is when Yosef is asked to interpret the dreams. Question?
He said, but the most part saw the fact that Hashem was always with Yosef. Because he just said that Hashem was always on his lips.
Same Shemayim Shogar Bashir.
But we see that, for sure, by Avram Avinu, that he was able to achieve pattern and bring them close to Hashem.
So right.
Isn't that the same idea?
No, I don't think it's Lamayit of Avraham Avinu. I'm sure Avraham Avinu is a whole thing. Nefesh Yisrael also Bechor, that Avraham Avinu made and he spread the idea of monotheism in the world. But what we're saying is, not to exclude Avraham Avinu, but they were able to see from Yosef in his daily actions this idea. Avraham Avinu would come and it would be like a seminar, you know, Ki'ilu. Come teach them, here's about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, something like a modern day Kiruv, you know, outreach worker. But Yosef, he's saying in his daily activities, he gets up and he says, "Oh, Baruch Hashem, Kosh Baruch Hu's helped me." And he saw that Kosh Baruch Hu was with him. And Avraham Avinu could have done the same thing also, but the opportunity of people who are non-believers, we don't find that the people in Mitzrayim necessarily came around to monotheism at all.
He wasn't going after him in the car with anybody.
They saw that through his daily actions, through his midos, same Shemayim Shogar B'Fiv. Then we get to the idea of interpreting the dreams. So towards the end of the parsha, he's in the Beis HaSar, he's in the prison, and the Sar Hamashkin comes to him, and Yosef asks him, "Adu apneichem ra yom? Why you look a little down today?" And he says, "I've had these dreams, and they're disturbing me." And what does Yosef say? Haloli lukim v'srodim safru nali. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to interpret, to tell me. Now this is a very important point. And there's also in Parshas Mikis as well. When Paro comes and has his dreams. So the first thing Yosef says is, Vayon Yosef is Paro, Perek Mamal Pasuk Tezayin, Lema Biladai Elokim Yane Shlom Paro, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will answer you. Although Yosef certainly was endowed with his wisdom, and he was able to interpret dreams, which is a tremendous chokmah to that, and we believe that a person's dreams are a sign of what's going on in their mind, and that's why Chazal gives so much credence to Chalomos, and we have Tanis Chalom, and it's a signal, it's a certain indication of what's going on in a person's mind, and if I really have a depth of wisdom to understand the dream, I can look into your personality. But Yosef says right away, the chokmah from a Kadosh Baruch was from a Hashem. And this particular kuda, I want to say, is what Yosef, a certain sense of Yosef the Tzaddik. Again, certainly the main idea is that he withstood the taiva and the temptation. But in addition, the idea of bringing Kiddush Hashem to the Geisha society, Mitzrayim, who certainly we have no reason to believe were in any regard a society of people who were God-fearing. It was all about Izara and Shtufei Zima. Yosef brought this to them. He tells them right away the chokhmah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, you can see right here, we certainly have a major link to understanding the Chag, the upcoming Yom Tov of Chanukah that we're going to begin in Mirat Hashem this Tuesday night. So we know, the Achronim tell us at length, that Chanukah is a Yom Tov which celebrates something that happened to Muhammad that was in the nature of Ruchnius. That the battle in Chanukah was a spiritual battle. There's a well-known Bach about this, or Lavush speaks about this, that the whole Iker Yom Tov of Chanukah was set up to be a Yom Tov Lahodos Ulahalo, to thank the Kadosh Baruch Hu for the Nisim that happened, and to praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Masha Inkin, unlike Purim, whereas in Purim, the Iker of Purim is the Mishtev Simcha. Why is that? To rejoice physically. It's a well-known idea, the Achronim mentioned this, that on Purim, what did Haman want to do? Bikesh Lahashmi Largulabed, he wanted to physically destroy us. And on Chanukah, that wasn't the case. The Yavanah would have been quite happy if all the Yidden at the time would have said, sounds great. You want us to do sports, Olympics, math, science, your way of life? This is great. We'll sign on right away. And we know that many of the Jews certainly were. Nisyavnim. They came this way. They didn't destroy the Beit HaMikdash. They were metamei to Heichal. They defiled it. They didn't burn the walls down. They didn't seek to destroy the Jews. They wanted to lashkichem torasecha, la'avir mechuki mitzonecha, to wipe out the Torah, and they picked certain mitzvahs particularly to do, which we'll discuss. Can't learn Torah, can't keep Shabbos, b'smila rosh chodesh. We'll get into these things. So we understand that the whole foundation, the establishment of the Yom Tov of Chanukah, was to celebrate a victory over a spiritual battle. That was the main battle that we had. Yavanim wanted us to adopt their way of life, to Hellenize the Jewish people, and by the Jewish people refusing and going to battle and saying, we're not willing to adopt your way of life, they were victorious through Mesiras Nefesh, and this is why we have a Yom Tov of Chanukah, the fire saying this particular nace. So, this is, in a certain sense, the scene in the Alan Isim and the Divrei Chazal as well. We read in Alan Isim that this is in the times when the Yavanim came to make us forget the Torah, La'avira Mechukir Tzanecha, V'yatub Racham Lecha Rabim, Matam V'yisaras V'kadosh Baruch Hu, you stood up for them in this time of Tzar. Because that's what they wanted to do. And Chazal in fact say that there are different Goliaths. He spoke about this in the previous year as well. One of the exiles of the Jewish people was Yavan, was Greece. And what does Greece represent? This is very important. There's a Medish Rabba, a Bracious Rabba in the beginning of the Torah. And the Torah tells us that it was Baharis Haisa Sobu Avohu, Baharis Al Pnei Son Pnei Choshech, and it was Choshech. So what is Sobu Avohu? The Medrash says it refers to certain Galuyos, but the Choshech, the Bracious Rabba tells us, Zem Malchus Yavon. This is the Greek Empire, that darkened the eyes of the Jewish people with their evil decrees. So this is makes a lot of sense to us, very logical, that the Greeks are associated with Choshech, with darkness, because they came against us, they're evil, they tried to destroy our Torah, and this is Choshech, this is utter darkness. We're so Vavol, maybe refers to Bavel and other things, but they're particularly Choshech. So that's in line with what we understand in Chanukah. They darkened our days, It's a tzara, it's nighttime, it looks bleak, it looks, there's no hope. We can't keep mitzvot, that it runs a case to keep mitzvot. That's certainly a dark time for the Jewish people. But if you think about it further, there's something that needs to be understood here very, very much that's not so in contrast with Greece or the Jewish people necessarily. If you think about it, what are the values that they stood for? We know that there's philosophy, there's wisdom, and of all we have today of Western culture certainly comes from the thinking and the writing, the establishment of many of the principles that we have from Greece, whether it's medicine or mathematics or democratic society. These were founded in the state, in Athens, and the writings of Plato and Aristotle. And it would seem like we respect some of these ideas, that we do respect wisdom. And this is not just an editorial opinion that I have. This is reflected in the halacha. This is a halacha. What's the halacha? And there's many places that I'll just share with you the clearest one. Mishnah Megillah Perek Aleph. We found the Gemara Daf Ches Amud Beis. The Mishnah there tells us that ain't being from with tefillin mezuzos el shasvarim nechtavim bechol lashon. The tefillin mezuzos ain't nechtavim with el ashuris. That when it comes to tefillin mezuzos versus other svarim, so they have to be written. Svarim can be in any language, and tefillin mezuzos can only be written in ashuris, in the special writing that we have a Sefer Torah is written in. Rabbi Shimon Leil Omer. Af b'svarim, when it comes to svarim, meaning the other, you know, Sifrei Kodesh, they can only be written in Loi Tzir Shiyatu El Yevon. Meaning the Tana Kama holds that you could write svarim kdoshim of Tanakh in any language. Shimon Wheel says, no, you have to write it certainly in Lashon Kodesh, but you could write it in Yevonis, in Greek. That's the mission of Chetim Vez. So maybe you'll say Shimon Gamliel, he's on his own, it's only a Das Yochid. You turn to Gemara, on Testament days, there's a little stick of Gemara. Gemara says like this. Shimon Leil Omer, Ach disfarm lo tu shiyach le'el yevanis, Om revarim le'yochan, halacha of Shimon Leil, that this is the psach halacha. That if someone wants to write svarim, they want to write the ksav in a scroll, you want to write the Torah, so you can write it down, either in Lashon Kodesh that was given, or in Greek. Om yochan, my time Shimon Leil, where does he get this from? So it's a pasuk that we know in Parashas Noach. That when Noah gave the different brachos to the children, so he said something to Shem, Ham, and Yafes. And what was it that he said to Yafes? Yach Elokim Yafes, Yishkom Baal Hashem. That Yafes should be, as what the word Yach means, most Mepharshim say means he should be extended. Some Mepharshim say means that his boundary will be extended. But it's certainly a language of praise. Yach Elokim Yafes, Yishkom Baal Hashem, and they should reside in Al Hashem. What does that mean? Dvar shel Yefes yubal Hashem. That the language of Yefes should be in the tent of shame. What's the tent of shame? That's us. It's our base medrash. That means, and Rashi says, what does Yafusel shel Yefes mean here? The beauty of Yefes, the Gemara says. What's the Yafusel shel Yefes, says Rashi? Hu loshon yavon. The shon yafe, mishal kol b'nei Yefes. That the language of Greek is the most beautiful language of all the children of Yefes. So we see that Chazal recognized that there's something special about the Greeks and the Greek language that's very beautiful. And this is what halacha. So here we're saying the Chazal say that Yavim was so evil they came to shore during Chanukah, and that they're considered choshech, they're so dark. This is Malchus Yavon, she'eshchicha ineshem, shal Yisrael, big zeruseyem. But here we go, we're writing the Sefer Torah in Greek. So how do we put the two together? This is a very important Kasha to try to understand. That in the one that seems like they're terrible, they're our enemies. You have a whole Yontif of Chanukah that's noticed that it's founded upon defeating them, that they're our arch enemy. On the other hand, we respect them. The Torah says, Yaakov Kim Yavis, Yishkam Ali Shem. Because I'll say that we can write things in Lashon Yevanis because this is a certain Chachma. So I'd like to try to understand these two seemingly paradoxical ideas. So first let's try to give a definition of what.
And then Moshe Rabbeinu twice, he wrote on the Torah in 70 languages.
Right. That's all 70. Here we're saying specifically Greek. Right, specifically Greek. That was the 70 language Moshe Rabbeinu was to explain it. That the Torah says something, he should explain it, the Torah should understand it. But particularly Greek, what's special about it? The Greek seems something even better, so Rashi's thinking it even better than the other thing. So it's a good point. You do have to understand learning. So let's try to get a definition of what Choshech is. Choshech, when something is dark, So it doesn't mean that the item that we has been darkened is no longer there, but it means that you can't see it clearly. Blinding you to something that is clearly there. If we think about all the enemies of the Jewish people, so most times when there's an enemy against Klal Yisrael, it's very clear why these people are against us. We don't want to be on their side, and it's something that's diametrically opposed to our way of life. And Pinchas Yechatav Rebracha points this out in his Sefer on Chanukah. He says that to take any enemy of Jewish people throughout history. So let's say it was the Mitzrim, or the Spanish Inquisition, or different various groups that came against us for religious reasons, or in our time, whether it's the Nazis. So it was understood. They're against us. They hate us. They want to wipe us out. They're evil. We stand for MS, and there's no mixing of the two. You didn't normally see Jews turning on the side to the Mitzrim or turning to the side of the Germans. These are rare things. People understood there's evil, there's Rishus, there's Emes. Now, when it came to Yavon, it was a little bit different, though. When it came to Yavon, people saw and they said, wait a minute, these guys aren't so bad. They're coming in, they have a system of government, they have a lot of wisdom, they've got beautiful ideas. Maybe we should be like them. So Pinchas explains, and something we could see on our own, this is a choshech, why Yavon is called choshech, because they darken the eyes of the Jewish people to make them think, this is Emes, it's not so bad. It's really good. We can certainly see this in our time as well. You go, you read certain books, you live in the United States of America, you're part of Western culture. Sounds all terrific, sounds great. Beautiful society, founded on good principles. Let's adopt American values. Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights, very nice ideas in there. And a person could be blinded into thinking, this is Emes, this is the way it should be. So when Yavon came in, this is the Choshech, because they put a little blinders on the Jewish people from thinking that this is something that's terrible, that's something that's very bad. So it's something that's very close to us. Now if we understand this is the definition of Choshech, that is very close to us, that's why they're so dangerous. And that's why so many Jews assimilated there in Miss Yavon. So the thing is explained, this I think is the first difference, we'll highlight three, why, on the one hand, that we praise the Chachma of Yavon, but on the other hand, we say they're mashach for Israel, and this is the difference between their wisdom, their way of life, and our way of life. We appreciate, and we say Yavon is good, is beautiful, because of all the nations in the world, they went ahead and said, you know, if you look at the world, there's a lot of pleasure in this world. So someone who's on a low level says, I want to be, partake of all the lustful pleasures in this world. And they eat, and they drink, and they partake of all their tivas and desires, and that's many people in the world. In the Shema, they don't recognize. So what dominates them is their goof, the Nefesh of Bahamas. Many, many societies are founded on a hedonistic type of a lifestyle. Well, there was a lot of hedonism in Greece, but they certainly recognized Chachma, that this is a good thing, and we hold that's the greatest. The greatest thing is the Seichel, the Neshama, the intelligence, and that's how man can be elevated above all other creatures in this world. So we recognize and we appreciate that. But here's the difference, one of the differences between the way of life, the Chachma of Yavon, and our Chachma. When a person is a professor, when a person is just an Aristotelian philosopher, so you look at that knowledge and you say, this knowledge is beautiful, there's something in here that I appreciate, but you appreciate only for the sake of the thing itself. So this knowledge is pleasurable, I enjoy it. But it's not related to any higher purpose. You're looking at it for the sake of the thing itself, meaning just like a person might enjoy a piece of cake, a person might enjoy something that's delicious, so another person says, I like a good book. I like a math problem. It's really enjoyable. It has no impact on who I am connected to anything greater. You're looking at the greatest pleasure in this world, but it's still something that's a pleasure and only part of Olam Hazeh in this world. It's more refined. It's much more refined than someone who enjoys, you know, aggressive things of hurting other people or lustful things. You know, you can wear a nice suit and tie and write a lot of books about it, but it's still just for the sake of fulfilling a hana of a human being. And that's why the famous Medrash in Eicha says that if you have chachma begoyim tamin, if there's wisdom amongst nations, believe, but Torah al tamin. Why? Because certainly they can have chachma. But Torah means a chachma that's related to something greater. We learn Torah, so of course we should appreciate learning Torah. It's a famous part of the Avi Nezer, the Sacha Shavu Rebbe, that if you learn Torah Lashma, it doesn't mean you can't enjoy it. So what people said, if you're learning because you enjoy it, it's not Lashma. I said, no. The greatest thing is that you enjoy it, but we understand, I'm not doing this because it's only Hana, I'm doing it because it's MS. It's true. There's a higher purpose in connecting to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the first major difference between the Chachmas Yavan and our Chachmas HaTorah. And why we praise them? Because there is a certain refinement, and it's a connection to the higher elements of man, but at the same time, it's seeing everything but missing everything. You're doing it only because you enjoy it and it's pleasurable. That's why I heard a story, it's a famous bar, I forget who said it, but there was a fellow who used to come to a certain yeshiva, and he would sit and learn in Shtag, and was really in-depth in the learning, but he would sit in Shabbos and smoke a cigar in the back of the Beis Medrash. How could it be? How could it be? But he loved the learning. It was great. It was true. The ideas are so beautiful. You have a nice chiddush or chayim, matosis, whatever it is. Who doesn't, you know, if you're really into it, it could be a lot of fun. But if you look at it that way, it doesn't translate into anything. Then it's just, you know, reading a good book, and the book could be a Talmud Bavli, and the book could be, you know, Plato's Republic, whatever it's going to be. So that's the first major difference. With this mahalas, we can understand why we praise the Greeks, why we praise Yavam. But at the same time, it could be choshech. That's why it's darkness. Not tov v'voh. It's not empty. That was other gulis that was empty. There's a lot there. Darkness means that there's a lot in the room, but I just can't see it. There's a lot there, but they don't see what they're supposed to see. That's the first approach. The second idea, and very close to the related of Yavon, is the approach to and the motivation of trying to master and to dominate, understand what's behind the physical world. And this is really something that exists in scientists today. Certainly, someone who studies science and who really understands biology and chemistry and physics, what's the world about, there's a certain arrogance or a certain gaiva, a certain knowledge of knowing how the world works. And many scientists, Baruch Hashem, there are some who see it as a higher purpose, and Einstein himself actually said, you know, one of the greatest scientists, and when he looks at the world, he's humbled at the creator of all this. He saw and he knew there must be a great orchestrator behind these things. But many scientists look at this and say, I want to do an experiment. It's empirical. I can observe everything that's taking place in my laboratory. And there's a desire to be able to explain how the world works. And the Greeks were certainly, that was some of their motivation. They could say, we are here, we want to understand the whole world. That's to say that man is the greatest of all knowledge, that man knows how this world works. The highest level is the wise man, the smart person, because he could say how this particular scientific formula works, why this occurs in the physical world, that man is the ultimate. And that's how that connects why Greece had the Olympics, because Olympics is what? Boosting up and building up man and showing, look how great man is. So walk around with very little clothes and show the greatness of man. Because the search for knowledge when it came to the Yavon was to show that man knows everything. That we could see clearly is kun paker, the opposite of the Torah. We have, when it comes to the greatest chok, what's the greatest chok? Certainly Parah Aduma. So what does it say in the Torah about Parah Aduma? It says the Lashon Torah, Zos Chukas HaTorah. It's a famous kasha, but he asks, what do you mean Zos Chukas HaTorah? What do you mean Zos Chukas? That's the Chukas HaTorah. Zos Chukas Parah Aduma. Zos Chukas Seder Tahara of someone who's in the Tanya. Zos Chukas Tahara Shalmeis. What do you mean, Zos Chukas HaTorah? So a very famous thing that he says is that in the Chok of Parah Aduma, there's a sign, there's something indicative there of the nature of the Derech of the whole Torah, which is what? That just like, clearly, in the Seder Tahara of Parah Aduma, there's something we don't understand. How could it be the one who's Metaher becomes Tameh? That's opposite logic. So too, in the rest of the Torah, we say, there's something in mitzvot that I don't know. And this is a major yesod of Yavis, that we're willing to say there's great chachma in the Torah, we can understand as much as we can, but there's a lot we don't know, there's a God above. The Greeks were not willing, and so many scientists today, that's why they're afraid of religion, because they'll say, if there's religion, it means I can't explain something. There's a higher authority, there's something I don't know, there's a level that's beyond, that I can't quantify. I can't write down in a book how this works. But we say, Kosh Baruch is above us, there's a lot in Torah that we know, but there's so much we don't know. That's why it's a very beautiful idea in learning. What do we say? We're not afraid of Akasha. Right? The Gemara is Teiku. Who would write a book of Halacha and say Teiku? We don't know. What we say in our own learning. We always want Akasha because we're interested in emes, we're interested in truth, and there could be things we don't know. It's a very important thing to say. And this is actually particularly, look at what it says in the Alan Eason, Lashkicham Torasecha Ulahavir Mechuki Ritzonecha. Why pick chukim? A lot of times the mitzvot. Mishpatim, Eidos, chukim. Why say la'avim chukim ritzonecha? I saw this in the Sifrei Chaim, of Chaim Friedlander, Zechut Tachavach, says that particularly was chukim that the Yevonim didn't want. Why? Because when it came to mitzvah sichliot, they could say, listen, we also believe in democracy. You have to have an ordered society. Come to the Yidden. What do they say? Let's see. It says in your Torah, don't steal. That's good. Don't steal. Fine. Yeah, we could believe in that. It says that you should love your fellow man. Beautiful. Beautiful idea. You should respect and you should have a certain sense of honesty. Great values. Wait a minute. Don't wear wool and linen? Why? God said so. Well, where's the logic behind it? We don't know. That they could not accept. So that is a second idea of the difference between the Chachmas Yevanos and the Chachmas HaTorah, and why it's such a strong battle, and what Hanukkah was about, is that we say Zoschukas HaTorah. There's so much more behind the Chachmas HaTorah that we don't know. We have a little drop of it, but there's so much more we don't know. And I'd like to give an example from the world about, the world of science. You know that the DNA, which is such a major part of the world of medicine and science today, so I believe it was 1953 when Crick and Watson, I believe are their names, and they proposed, suggested the model of DNA. Now let's go back in time to 1940. Okay, so 1940, imagine you tell somebody the following thing, although they were doing experiments for this about 120 years, they ever knew that there's such a concept of genes. You know, if you have parents that look a certain way, and a child came out, blonde or blue-eyed, and the kid just had dark skin and black hair, there was something really strange going on there. Everyone understood that. But we didn't know there was something in each cell that would make up the entire genetic material of a human being. Imagine you tell somebody in 1940, say, listen, I'm going to take a little piece of your body, a cell, whatever it is, I'll put it on the microscope, and I can tell you exactly all the features that you have. Are you crazy? You're taking some kind of drugs? You're hallucinating? Like you're gonna look and find a map for my entire chemical makeup, the color of my eyes, my height, my weight, what disease I might be predisposed to, because you're looking at things on my skin? Okay, you're reading too many science fiction books, the comics. Please, what are you talking about? But you don't know. There's a chachma that in every single cell of a human being we can find this DNA, which a few years later they did find. This week, I had an opportunity, just we all know this, just to see how far it goes. There's something, it's a nice thing to do, where you register for the registry if anyone ever needs, lo aleinu, a certain operation for a bone marrow transplant, this particular one. So there's a registry, different organizations do it. I think the one that I do is called Gift of Life. I think Hazen Mitzion does it. Different organizations, you go and you give them some, you sample from yourself, and then they match if anyone ever needs, help, and they need a transplant for a certain medical condition. If you're a match, you can be a donor. So I go to sign up, and I say, okay, so you want to take a blood test? What is it? He says, no, we just take a swab from your cheek. Here's all they need. Right? They thought they're going to scratch them. They give you a Q-tip. They give you a Q-tip. You put the Q-tip in your cheek. You roll it around for 10 seconds. How much gets on a Q-tip? It's not exactly the roughest substance in the world. They put the Q-tip in a little piece of foam. They close the envelope. Goodbye, go home, have a nice day. From that little piece of skin that gets dragged onto that Q-tip, they can find out the most inner details of your biological makeup to know if you can provide blood and bone marrow to someone else who's in need, and it has to be such an exact match. You're going to give a person the blood that they need to live. So if someone had told you this 100 years ago, what are you? Okay, very nice, you're crazy. That's the chachmas in the world. We're willing to say, we don't know. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world in his infinite wisdom, and there's things that we don't know about. And there's a very important Rambam that teaches us how we should approach the world and how we're supposed to take things from this. You have a Rambam for what's out here? Mm-hmm. Rambam writes, Hilchos Sodei HaTorah, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, a very important idea. He's describing the mitzvah of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. So Rambam says, how does a person come to love Hashem? Right? So for me to love a human being, very easy. Because I see you, you're such a nice young boy. You do a lot of nice things for me. So we can develop a relationship. So I can love you. Right? But in order to have a relationship with Avas Hashem, so we need to feel, we need to appreciate the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us. So what vehicle should a person use to have this relationship, to complete the mitzvah of Avas Hashem? There are six mitzvahs a person is supposed to fulfill all the time. Sheish mitzvahs p'midios. One of them is Avas Hashem, love Hashem. So how do you do that? Write the Rambam. Perek Beis, Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah Halacha Beis. Heich yad derech la'avoso v'yiloso. How is a person supposed to find a method through which to love Hashem and fear Hashem? When a person contemplates the creations and the actions, the wondrous ones of Hashem, Hagdolim, the great ones, the Yirmehen Chachmalto Shein La'erech, and you see wisdom through which there's no way to calculate, to evaluate, to put a certain number on them, the locates, and it's infinite, was here's the key word. So a person looks at the world. You walk out, you see a sunset. So, you know, a lot of people look at a sunset. So they, what do they say? There's a lot of glare. I can't see. I put on sunglasses. We have an opportunity every day, you know, especially now when the sun rises fairly late. So if you're driving and there's a strong sun glare, so rather than just saying, I can't drive, I need to put the visor in, so I'm going to say, look at this amazing sunrise. Look at this because God is giving me every morning. You go to a special place where you see a certain natural beauty. So what does the Rambam say you should do? He says immediately you should say, immediately you feel a love, and you praise, mafari, glorify, taiva gedolo. Some of these beautiful words. You develop a strong desire, leida, to know Hashem HaGadol, to know the great name, the great one, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, who's behind this. So meaning, as opposed to a scientist who will say, oh, here's the world, so let me explain how I can show that I have super knowledge, that I am the one who can explain everything. We say, no. We look at the natural and say, there's an infinite source of chachma behind this. We look at the whole world, and that is particularly the derech through which we have Avos Hashem. So we're using the natural world around us to improve, to be mechazik, our love of Kadosh Baruch Hu, our love of God. And that's certainly 100% day and night difference between one who would look at it and just say, well, this is, you know, some observation that I can have about how the physical world works. The Torah teaches us we're supposed to look at the world and say, through this I have Avos Hashem, I have a love of Hashem, I have Yiras Hashem. Like he writes in David HaMelech says, Zomer Nafshi Lil Kimel Kel Chai, my soul thirsts to know the living God. And when you see these things, you feel the Rambam writes further, Miyad Hu Nirsa L'Achora V'Yifachet. You're humbled, you have a certain fear, but the fear here doesn't mean afraid of this. You feel like in awe. Listen to these words. Again, this is the Chochmas HaTorah. A person knows the Odeya Shehu Berya Kitana, that you're a tiny, small creature, Shfela, who's very, very low, is nothing. Omedes V'das Kalam U'utul Fnei Tam Deos, that you have no stats, you have small nothing in front of the one who knows everything. So this is a second idea of a major, major, you sort of see the difference between the Chochmas HaYavan and the Chochmas HaTorah. Chochmas HaYavan, and today again, scientists today who are atheists, who believe in this matter, want to say that we understand everything, we can explain everything, and those that are beyond us, we don't accept that. Human being is the highest knowledge, the ultimate knowledge. We say, yes, we should be zocher to know a lot of Torah, but those who got the Torah, there's a lot that we don't know. We have the courage to say, I don't know. And that's why they wanted to destroy what we have. This is the second mahalach. Finally, third mahalach in understanding why we're so similar to Yavan, but why we fought against them and why we're so different than them, is the simple idea that we know we say every morning. Gracious Chachma, Yiras Hashem. That the ultimate wisdom is Yiras Hashem. And what does that have to do with the Greeks? So where was the place, this is something that I thought of, just a very simple point. Where did the Greeks study? What was their house of study called? The academy. Now, the word academy, academic, has another meaning. Academic is someone who's very smart. But certain knowledge, and I don't think this is an accident, is also called, it's academic. What does that mean? Doesn't matter. Point is it's academic. It doesn't really have any difference in the way that I act, that I behave. Now, those words come from the same idea. So once studies in the academy, you can go ahead and you can be the wisest person in the world, but it doesn't impact the mashu in any way the way that I'm going to behave. So a person can be the greatest mathematician, doctor, physicist, whatever it is. And then you'll go ahead and say, okay, very nice, that's knowledge. Now you go home and you have to speak to your wife. It doesn't impact how I'm going to talk any more nicely or more patient and more sensitive, or if I go out on the street and someone needs a hand, the fact that I'm a brilliant scientist is not going to tell me, you should help this person, you should believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you should act in a certain way. So one of the, certainly the main differences between Chachmas Yevanot and Chachmas HaTorah is that Torah's essence is Kedusha. It impacts who we are. And there's a very, very well-known story, all the Sfarim bring down, I heard a thought once in the name of Socrates, and the Sfarim is mentioned in the name of Aristotle. What's the story? So, of course, Aristotle or Pythagoras, the great philosopher.
Maybe both.
And the story was that the students of Aristotle saw him behaving in a way that was in a very, very crude manner, fulfilling many lustful pleasures. So they asked him, they said, listen, teacher, we don't understand something. You're the one who writes about morality, who writes about being an ethical person, and then we see in your private life you behave in this manner. How do you put the two together? How do you reconcile these two things? So what was the answer? A very important answer. He says, yes, that's Aristotle the philosopher who writes about those things. When I do these things, I'm not Aristotle the philosopher. I'm a different person. I'm just myself. And that's the essence of what we're speaking about tonight. You can't say such a thing about Torah. La'avdil elef alfei alafim. There's no such division. There's no such chiluk. The essence of learning is, the essence of Torah is, that it has a hashpah and impact in everything we do. But knowledge is certainly not academic. It's not just something that you study because it's interesting and it's useful and maybe it can help you build a bridge possibly and has a practical purpose and you can get a really good job and earn a lot of money from it. That's very nice. But it has a hashpah, has an impact on every single thing we do. We live our life. Every ounce of Torah that you learn is kedusha in essence in and of itself. So these are three major ideas defining the difference between the Chachmas Yavan and the Chachmas HaTorah. Number one, we mentioned that the idea of Yavan is being dark, that it does darken us because it's so close. They are different than any other enemy of Klal Yisrael. Other enemies of Klal Yisrael, they came, and we know they were Rishon, they were against us, and no one would confuse the two. But in Yavan comes and extends the olive branch. Not by accident. They say, we're your friends. We want you to be like us. Just take your temple and make it a little different. We won't hurt. We won't destroy you. So a person could, chas v'shalom, fall prey to that. But the difference is that they don't look at the chachma for a higher purpose. It's just there to get pleasure from this world. So all it is a beautiful idea. It's just a more refined taiva. Some people have pleasure through gashmistic things. So it's a pleasure in a little bit of a ruchnistic way. That's why they're close, but they're so far. They don't have the ability to say that they don't know. They look at everything as from a man's perspective as highest, and we know there's a higher authority. And the last idea, it's not used for midos. Now let's try to relate this directly to Chanukah a little bit. And I'd like to share with you a beautiful Maharal explains why particularly that in this light we chose the mitzvah of Chanukah, of Ner Menorah, to be the thing that shows this makes. Because we know a famous kasha that many ask is that there were two nisim of Chanukah. And if you look at the Al-Nisim, what does it mention? In this, the whole boat seems like an Al-Nisim. Alan Easton talks about Zaydin, Yaros Kisorashach, Rabban Amiyatim, that there were so few and they were evil in the hands of those who learned Torah and we won the war. And then it says, yeah, Yacha King Bovanecha, the Diarotechalecha, the Greek Uneers Pachasus Kachacha. But the main thing he's saying in the Alan Easton is, oh, that's for the Nuchama, for the victory in the war. You look in the Gemara in Shabbos, my Chanukah, so it explains. When they came to the base of Mikdash, they found the Pach Shem and it lasted for 8 days. So we have two nisim going on here. We have the nes of the Melchama, that the few people were victorious over this great many, and we have the nes of the menorah. So clearly what happened, you see from the Gemara, there's how many explain, Chazal were koveya the yontiv on the nes of the menorah. In Chinami, if you look at our nisim, the hodah, the halal that we're saying, you don't need a great hodah and a great halal for having a mitzvah that you couldn't have before. In fact, there's a halacha. They only say Hallel if you're in danger, your life is in danger, or different circumstances, if a person was in prison, if you were sick, or if you shoot the car yourself. But if I couldn't put on tefillin today, because of a terrible thing, and then miraculously a guy came and he helped me, and I put on tefillin, so I don't know, say, I should, as well it grows Hallel, you don't say Hallel, because I couldn't do a mitzvah. So he couldn't write them a notice. They say Hallel, so then he suggested, no, that Eilach Hinami, the Ikonis was Luchama, and that was a life-saving nation, and that was something they risked their lives to say, we say Hallel for that. The Chazal were Koveya. They particularly said that we want to remember the Pesuminis of Chanukah as being mefarsing through the menorah. Now why? Let's try to understand. So I think in light of what we learned, the morale is very beautiful and makes a lot of sense. The morale in their mitzvah suggests the following thing. He says, if we understand that the main purpose, that the goal of the Yevanim was to take away our Kedusha, they wanted us, they could have had knowledge. And they didn't mind if we would keep living as a Jewish nation. But as long as we are bereft, they took away. We didn't believe that there was a Chachmas HaLakus, that there was a higher knowledge. So where was the place, the biggest place in the world, the prime place where we felt the Shem Kadosh Baruch Hu, was the Beis HaMikdash. And there were Matanis HaHechol. And they tried to say, there's no Kedushin here. So says the Maral, that we came to the Beit HaMikdash, and we took one mitzvah of the Torah, they tried to mevatel these things, the Torah, which is this knowledge represents the lofty seichel that we have in the world, v'ikar kedushu Beit HaMikdash. Therefore, l'ficha kavu hadlokas haneros, zeichel haneshu, nasam mitzvah hadlokas. They made the mitzvah through neros, which is a zecher that we survive through our kedusha, through keeping the mitzvahs of the Beit HaMikdash. That particularly the return, which represented in the relighting of the menorah, the return of the hashras hashchina, which was chas v'shalom, unfortunately was removed from the Beit HaMikdash. When that returned, now we know we won. Now we know we're back. We're back. Not because only that we beat them, we won a war. That's very nice. But the purpose of fighting them was really one thing. This is a symbol of what the war is about. The war was, we're not going to adopt your way of life. We believe in Chachma, but the Chachma is because it's part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's Kedusha to the Chachma. The Kedusha returned, the Beit HaMikdash, when the menorah was lit. Now we're back in a Makom Kedusha. That's what the nation's about. So when you light menorah, Mir Tashem, this week, there's something to think about. Think to yourself, this lighting this menorah represents the Kedusha that came back to the Beit HaMikdash that we have in our lives, that we believe in the Torah, we believe in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we are connected to something that's greater, that's loftier. That's what you can think about. You like menorah. That Chochma is back. And I always think to myself, you know, this year it's not such a, they don't come together, but there's certainly a great contrast between our lights and their lights, right? Depending on the block and who your neighbor is, right? But we light our menorah. Look at our menorah. Our menorah is a simple lamp. It's a flame. The flame presents so much. All the yid and all the years who gave us Yiras Nefesh for learning to Kedusha. And their lights represent, I mean, maybe at one point represented something nice, but it's materialism and sales and presents. And that's all it is. And certainly we have Chanukah presents. But our Chanukah presents should be, I'm not going to say again, don't get nervous, the spirit of Lahal Lahodos, to say thank you, to appreciate the Kadosh Baruch, what he did for us this time. That's what it's about. That's one idea that Maral suggests. And finally he says, a very important idea. I'm putting that in. No, but it is a minig, Yashin Klal Yisrael. It's not a new thing. It's not a new thing. It's not a good job. Not a new thing. Now, the last idea that he says is very important. Many have said it's Maral, maybe the first one, or maybe many have gotten it from him. He says, why do we pick particularly to commemorate the Yontif and the Nesiv Chanukah through menorah, says Maral, because there were those who could have adopted this exact hashkafah of the Greeks. What are we talking about? How do you analyze a world event? So there's a war. Something happened. There's a great miracle. So if you're someone who looks merely through human intellect and knowledge, so you'll say, what are the economic, socio-political, military reasons behind this victory? You'll write 20 books and PhDs and explain why this nation defeated this nation and there was a military victory. And those things are all true. Maybe. But you're missing something very important. You're missing clearly the Yad Hashem in this victory. So a person who looks at the Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, yeah, of course, they got a good Air Force, a good strategy, and they have the Mossad working for them, so of course they won. That's why they're behind it. And a small nation can defeat the many. That's how it is. But they chose the menorah because nobody could say, nice trick, that oil lasted for 8 days. Yeah, I see that one. You had to, they wouldn't recognize that when the fact that the Nes of the Shemen, that was something from the Yad Hashem. So says the Maral, the Nes of the Shem, the Yad Hashem, was Megala, explained that the Nes of the Nechama was also something that was miraculous, that was Lemala Minateva. Because if you look at through the Hashkaf of the Yavanim, so, it was something, yeah, you know, they beat us, let's write a book and adopt their strategies, they had better weaponry, they were braver, whatever it was. But when you look at that Nes, now we'll say, we see that it was something that was purely miraculous, that the Yad Hashem was behind these things. So we tried to understand a little bit tonight what the essence of the Yom Tov of Chanukah is about. One of the essences, there are many ideas, but this is just one aspect of it. We learn from Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik, why? Because he ascribes Chachma in interpreting the dreams. He says, Halo Lelokim, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though he was certainly very smart, very wise, it was all Hashem. Even the Goyim said about him, look, the Yad Hashem is with this person. So when you light your Chanukah menorah, these are some things we can think about, to try to spread the ideas and be mechazik ourselves. We'll end off with this idea, as all the achronim say, we mentioned in the beginning of the shiur tonight, that Chanukah and Yom Tov were mechazik the ruchnius. We don't celebrate through a gashmistic way. You can have a Chanukah party, you should, but the way a Chanukah party is a sudas mitzvah is only with divrei Torah and shiros and the sprachos of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Yontif of Chanukah is about the time where we were saved in a spiritual way. Let's use that Yontif to recognize those ideas in Torah and Ruchnius that the Yontif represents. Good luck.